Rebellion. Joe Armendariz was wondering why I asked him to be here, and now he knows. He's holding the microphone, the speakers for us. It's windy, but it's winds of change. And I want to thank a few people, Dave Hamill, Mike Lavelle, and Ron Knott, for all the work they did. Carly and Bob Engel, the biggest plunger in the world, folks, right up here, Engel and Gray. And I'd also like to thank Sean Knight. Sean's working on the board here. Sean is the owner of KUHL and KSMA, 1440 and 1410, making local radio local again. And most of all, I want to thank you. As if you are listeners to the show, you know where I was hesitant of doing this because I was afraid we might hold this in a phone booth, but I guess it would have had to been a big phone booth. And, you know, if we could have got more people like this here earlier, Mervyn's would still be in business. Now, I want to introduce two lovely young ladies, Taylor and Tori Thompson. They're going to sing the national anthem for us.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets flicker, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Thank you, ladies. Somebody give them a help down there. Well, why are we here today? Why are Americans like you and I gathered across our land on this particular day? Why did we ask you to bring a flag and a plunger? It's because we've all realized that something horribly is going wrong in our county, our state, and our country. Our economy is in deep trouble. Our priorities are out of whack. Our government is out of control. And together we know if we don't do something right now about these problems, we may never recover. We've been blessed to live in a country that was created to secure the unalienable, God-given rights of every man and woman to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our government was established for the sole purpose to secure these rights. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But something's gone wrong, hasn't it? We have to ask ourselves here today, can America exist without private property? Can America exist without the freedom of speech? Freedom of religion? Freedom of radio? I mean press? Can America exist without due process of law? Can America exist if the government can confiscate your living by taxes and regulations? Can America exist if we no longer have the right to bear arms? And are not all of these rights being eroded today at an alarming rate? just how bad are things and what are we going to do about it? I want to invite my friend and colleague, Joe Armendariz, to the Santa Barbara County Taxpayers Association. He's also the executive director of the Santa Barbara Industrial Association and the city councilman from the city of Carpinteria. Joe's going to talk to you about our tax situation, the impact this is having on jobs, as well as the upcoming ballot when you're going to be asked to raise your taxes to the tune of $16 billion.
Good evening, everybody. Is there something going on here? You know, I come from an area near the People's Republic of Santa Barbara, and I'll tell you what, they could never get this done. Abraham Lincoln or Benjamin Franklin said, well done is better than well said, and I want to say to my friend Andy, well done. I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer me in your best outdoor voice. Okay? Understand? Are you overtaxed or undertaxed? Is government too big or too small? Does government spend too much or too little? Does it borrow too much or too little? Is the interest on our debt going up too fast or too slow? Just how fast is it growing? Let me tell you how fast. Our debt today clocks in at $11,178 billion. It's going up by $100,000 a second, $6 million a minute, $3.8 billion a day. Between the time this great little event started and by the time it's done, we will have added over $500 million to our national debt. That's enough to widen the freeway from Carpinteria to Montecito. It's enough to build a North County jail, staff it, fund it for 10 years, and operate it. It's enough to hire 100 cops, 100 firefighters, 100 teachers, pay them each $100,000 a year for 10 years, and still have enough to send every one of you a check for $10,000. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when I think about how bad the government is and how bad the problem is, I look at this plunger and I think, you know what? We're going to need a bigger plunger. That's how big the problem is. To put it in perspective for you folks, in the last 12 months, we have lost 4.5 million jobs in the United States of America. 82% of those jobs were lost by men. Those were head of household jobs. Those are the kinds of jobs that sustain families. Those are the type of jobs that allow people to feed their kids, put clothes on their back, and send them to a good school. Ladies and gentlemen, we are losing jobs in the most dynamic sectors of our economy, in construction and manufacturing. And you know what the Obama administration says? They just released a report yesterday by the Department of Homeland Security that said people who are complaining about the lost jobs in manufacturing and construction are right-wing extremist radicals. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me say, I am proud to be a right-wing extremist radical. We need to clean up Washington, D.C. We need to clean up Sacramento. We need to clean up Santa Barbara County. We need to say no. We need to say no, and indeed we need to flush Proposition 1A, which would extend the largest tax increase in the history of California. Did you know that Proposition 1A is so shamefully dishonest that the proponents of the measure wrote both ballot arguments? Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, that type of mendacity should not be rewarded. Say no to Proposition 1A. Say no to higher taxes. Elect men and women who believe in free enterprise, capitalism, the rule of law, private property, free markets, empowering individuals and businesses and families, not government bureaucracies and government agencies. That's what America is about. That's what America is going to be about in the future if this movement continues and it grows. So I would say in the immortal words of Abraham Lincoln, agitate, agitate, agitate. And now I'm happy to reintroduce my friend Andy Caldwell, who will close it up and get you out of here by 6 o'clock as promised. And I'll hold the speaker.
Thank you.
Joe, thank you for that. Nobody ever has to tell me to agitate. It comes natural. You know, in addition to the high rates of taxes that are sending skilled workers and jobs out of state, the other job and economic opportunity killer in this county, state, and nation is our regulatory climate. If government, in essence, prevents us from having any impact whatsoever on our air, water, or land, how are we supposed to make a living? Back in the early 1990s, Peter Ueberroth chaired a commission on called the Council for California Competitiveness. Back then, even in those days, we thought we had a bad state government. But they at least began to ask the questions, why are we losing so many jobs? It doesn't seem like anybody in Sacramento is asking that question any longer. Well, Peter Ueberroth's commission concluded that California was not suffering from a recession as much as it was suffering from self-inflicted blows to our own economy by our own government. Now, when Joe and I spoke at the Santa Barbara Tea Rally, and a reporter from a liberal newspaper down there said, well, you know, what could we do different? And I gave him three letters, PXP. Now, PXP stands for Plains Exploration and Production. PXP wanted to do a slant drill project off the coast of Vandenberg Air Force Base. That one project alone would have raised between $3 to $5 billion in royalty payments to the state of California. That oil doesn't belong to PXP, it belongs to you. It is a state resource. They get a percentage of what they drill, that you get the rest. Now, the California State Lands Commission has three people on it. Two of them, John Garamendi, the Lieutenant Governor, and John Chung, the State Lands Commissioner, they voted no on this project. PXP was willing to write a $100 million down payment on the royalties. And again, that project would have brought in $3 to $5 billion to the state economy. They voted no. John Chung voted no the same week he issued IOUs to California taxpayers. Now, what was unique about that is that PXP's project actually had the support of the environmental community. There was no organized opposition except career politicians that just have a habit of saying no to business in the state of California. Now, I don't have the time to tell you about Assembly Bill 32, Arnold's plan to save the planet by sending all our jobs overseas. And let me address just a couple of examples of air, land, and water. Do you see this equipment parked here? Every piece of equipment except Sean's beautiful motorhome over there is going to be rendered worthless by the California Air Resources Board. Now, all of these trucks pass smog emissions, but somebody in Sacramento, with Governor Schwarzenegger's blessing, with a stroke of a pen, said, we're rendering all of this equipment worthless. These people that spent their whole lives to buy equipment, their fathers may have passed a business on to them. They may have wanted to pass it on to their kids. They're out of business, folks. And, you know, the point here is this diesel engine rule affects trucking, it affects construction, and it affects farming. And yet our air has never been cleaner than it is this day in the state of California. But if the regulators admitted it was clean enough, they would be out of a job. So instead, they keep passing the regulations and they want you to be out of a job. Now let me give you an example here. The guy that they relied on, is that mic better than this one? Let's try that one. All right, let me give you an example on this thing. The guy that they relied on for the study on the diesel engine rule faked his PhD. He claimed to have a PhD in something. I think he got his PhD from the back of an ad on a Cracker Jack box. He didn't know what he was talking about. An epidemiologist at UCLA corrected the record. They quote-unquote disciplined the guy, but they let the rule stand. These trucks, the farm equipment, the trucks, the construction equipment is being regulated out of business on the basis of junk science. This one rule, this California Air Resources Board rule, is going to cost the California economy over $20 billion, and thousands of people are going to be out of work. Thousands of people are going to lose everything they've ever worked for and lose their business and their job at the same time. And the question is who's going to tell Arnold? Are you? Okay, that's air. No, hold on. Now let me tell you about water. The mainstay of our local economy is agriculture. Ags can also be affected by this decent legend rule, but another unelected board of political appointees, the Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who sit on the Regional Water Quality Control Board, have arbitrarily decided that the water that runs off of a field into a ditch, we're talking ditch water, folks, that water has to be cleaner than drinking water standards with regard to some pollutants, 10 times cleaner in terms of nitrates. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get my water from a ditch. And yet that's where they set the standard. Now, you know what they set the standard at? They set the standard at the pollutant level that kills a flea. I'm not making this up. I don't care if the flea dies. I want the farmers to keep producing our food. But they will not be able to capture and treat their water runoff, because it's even water runoff from a storm. In our region, they do drip irrigation. We don't even have runoff for most of these fields. But in a storm, they won't be able to stop that water. They won't be able to treat that water. They're out of business. And again, an unelected, unaccountable regulatory body. Now, these same guys are turning off. They want a parking lot like this. If this parking lot was built today, they would say that no water can run off this parking lot. They didn't run off if the field was vacant. That's the standards they're setting. They're going to kill the construction industry, development, and ag. Let me go on to land. Do you know that in Santa Barbara County, we have more endangered species listed in our county than in any other county in the continental United States? We have more endangered species in this county than most states combined. Did you know that almost the entire North County is declared habitat for one species or another? The good folks out at the Hitching Post restaurant in Casmalia, great steakhouse. Let me give you an example of how stupid our regulatory regime is. There's a bridge that used to connect Wampook and Casmalia. There's a culvert underneath this bridge. And that bridge every once in a while get plugged up with crud and mud and everything else. In the old days, they used to just put sticks of dynamite out there and blow the crud out of there and went to the Hitching Post, had dinner, and called it a day. But now what happened is, because of the Endangered Species Act, nobody could get a permit to even take equipment or shovels or anything out down there because of what they call the unarmored three-spine stickleback fish. I don't know what the hell that is. I don't care what it is. But the fact is they couldn't get a permit. So the culvert plugged, the water went over the bridge, and after the water subsided and the mud dried, guess what? They said, you know what? We now declare that road habitat for that fish. That is why the Lompoc-Casmalia Road is closed to this day, is because they declared a dry river bridge crossing, the top of it, not the bottom of it, is habitat for a fish. And this is the kind of stuff that's going on all over the place. tiger salamanders. Do you know why we don't have more tiger salamanders here? It's because we only get 10 inches of rain. They've got so many of them in Minnesota that they sell them as fish bait. That here they're endangered. It's not because of farmers and ranchers. It's because we don't get enough rain. And yet 200,000 acres of our land is now confiscated to save the tiger salamander. Folks, these are just a few of the regulations that are preventing people from making a living through their hard work and investment, apart from taxation. And these are not the only problems that we face. Consider the fact that California was in a recession before the rest of the nation was in a recession. And part of that was the regulatory climate. That even when the economy was booming, they spent us into a deficit of tens of billions of dollars. This $60 billion deficit didn't hit this last year. They've been building it, lying and cheating their way through fake budgets for the last couple of years. And now they tell us they have no choice but to raise taxes. Now listen carefully, and I don't want to be offensive, but I've got to say this. Right now, we're letting prisoners out of jails and prisons because our elected officials say they cannot afford to keep these people locked up. They can't afford to keep them locked up. Santa Barbara County, they don't even book you if it's not a felony anymore. But listen to this. In Lompoc, taxpayers are forking out $30,000 a month to house and guard a sexually violent predator on a 20-acre estate. $30,000 a month. Now, how come this guy that left his last known victim, a three-year-old, we left him to die in a wilderness, how come we can afford that? That is over $300,000 a year. How many more of these animals are we sporting throughout the state of California? That's just one of them. You know what I wish we would do with this predator? I wish we would rent the house next door to the judge who signed his release from prison. Or better yet, the psychiatrist that let him out of a Tascadero State Hospital not once but twice. Do you have your plungers? Should we keep our money or pay higher taxes? Do you want jobs or junk science? Do you choose a farmer or a flea? What would you prefer, a prison cell or a private estate for a pervert? Please listen to me carefully. Samuel Adams says, it does not take a majority to prevail. There's 100,000 people that live in this valley. We probably have about 1,500 people here now. We're not a majority. We're not a majority yet. But it doesn't, Samuel Adams said, and this isn't the guy that made the beer. Okay? We're talking about one of the founding fathers. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate. Are you irate? Tireless minority. Are you tired? It takes an irate, tireless majority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Are you ready to be on fire? Are you ready to set other people on fire? Then I'm going to ask you to continue to do what you've done today, and that is to quit being invisible. I want you to quit being silent. I'm going to ask you to make your presence known and your voices heard. I want you to be recognized not as a lonely individual, but as an American who's not just inherited a right, but a responsibility. That responsibility is to keep America free. I'm going to ask you to become part of an effort to respond in unison to the types of issues that we've brought up here today, because these things are a threat to our freedom and our livelihood. I'm going to ask you to do something very scary. I'm going to ask you for your name and your email address. Now see, I see some people backing up already. Now let me tell you why. If we do this once, we may feel good about it, we may remember it, but what did we accomplish? Folks, we've got to take a leap of faith. We will not give your email address to anybody. We will not sell it. We will not send you a bunch of junk. But what we are going to do is the next time the Regional Water Quality Control Board has a meeting on a flea, we're going to send you an email. The next time the CARB meets and tries to take more equipment off the road because of junk science, we're going to tell you where they're at and how you contact them. You know, there's some people that read about the pervert in Lompoc and said, well, I'm just glad he doesn't live by me. That ain't the right attitude, folks. You got to start caring for your neighbors as if you were your neighbor. And I'd like to flood the office that is funding that guy and say, hey, why are we spending $30,000 a month of our hard-earned tax money? Send that guy back to prison. We're going to ask you to give us some time, attention, support, and participation. We will not ask you for money. We're asking you to become organized and mobilized as members of the Plunger Rebellion. Now, we have some cards for you to fill out. If you have a business card, we'll take that. If not, we're not going to ask. I don't care if you put your whole name on there. We're not going to turn the list over to the government either, I can tell you that. So what we'd like you to do, we've got a bunch of pins and cards, and you can come up here and just dump them in a red bucket. And we want to think about, as we're doing this, years ago in a small place with very few people and very few resources, a group of patriots declared their independence against the most mighty empire in ever known to man, the British Empire. These guys stood up to this great empire. They cried, give me liberty or give me death. We're just asking you for your email. They signed the Declaration of Independence with the penalty of death hanging over them. We're asking you that you would quit being anonymous among friends. We have to start somewhere. We have to take our country back. You've begun to do something today. Take the next step. Quit standing alone. Stand with one another. Stand with me and Joe. Stand up. Step forward. And thank you for being here.